Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 33 of 2024. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us at the Odds Breakers and follow us on social media / the Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by BetMGM for up to $1,500 worth of free money. Free bets. Please visit this podcast description. Click on the link. Terms, conditions, and location apply. If you'd like to support the Odds Breakers and benefit from our premium plays, please visit theoddsbreakers.com. Click shop and become a member. Pick any for winning cappers. You get the premium plays before the line moves. You can also support us on patreon.com. And if nothing else, please visit the Odds Breakers and become a free picks and Telegram subscriber. You can use our promo code if you're still into baseball, baseball24, to get any packages from myself, Kanaki, or any other of our great cappers. Baseball's rolling. Profitable so far in baseball, just by a little bit, though. And NBA's rolling, too. I had a good start for my NBA season, which starts in the playoffs, so I'm very happy about that. And obviously, the draft tomorrow. Draft is huge. I have quite a few plays tomorrow if you're still interested in our $50 draft package, and we'll be making some more today as well as tomorrow, all the way up to the NFL draft. But hey, we have a great show for you today because this is our final draft episode before the big day, and we are very happy to bring in Ron from Ron A Sports and the Inside Blitz to discuss our final takes on this podcast for the NFL draft, and hopefully he has some really good plays for you as well. Before Ron comes on, I just want to remind you guys that next week is also a huge week. We have the Kentucky Derby coming up next week. I expect to have a podcast coming out early Thursday morning. Tune in live for myself, Marco D'Angelo, and Chris Felica from Fox Sports. We're going to be talking at I believe it's at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday, talking Kentucky Derby, maybe a little football as well. So make sure you tune into our YouTube channel for that if you have any questions. Otherwise, you can just get the podcast Thursday morning, and we'll have a quick one out for you later on Friday as well. But hey, it's draft season right now, and it's all about the NFL draft. So without further ado, let's bring on our wonderful guest, Ron from the Inside Blitz. Now I'm excited to bring back a fantastic sports bettor and longtime friend of the show in Mr. Ron A Sports from the Inside Blitz. You can follow Ron on Twitter at Ron Ace Sports. Ron, here we are. It's draft time. Last time I talked to you was Super Bowl week. How the heck you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I love your grid here. It says I'm on the 20-yard line, but I'm just thinking I probably should be on the 5-yard line because we're about 5 yards away from the NFL draft now after all this speculation. So it's great to be with you. Hope you've been doing well.
Well, thank you. It looks like you're going to be where kickoff returns are caught, and right here on the 40-yard line over your Ace is where they're going to be kicking off from, so it's going to be a little
Don't confuse me yet.
Yeah, I know, right? We got enough to think about for next year. Actually, they'll be lining up at the 40, but they'll still be kicking from the 35 or whatever it is. Oh, my God, whatever. I guess when you have no competition, really, you can do whatever you want, so that's the NFL for you. But here we are. We have a draft, and it's very exciting. This is one of I know it's my favorite time of the year, and you've said many times how much you've loved the NFL draft. You have so many great articles and great takes on it. Very excited for tomorrow, and I'm going to be focused in, just like you are, I'm sure, Ron, when the big day comes up. But hey, man, there's just a lot of craziness here. I wanted to start by asking you, in the past, books have gotten so smoked on these drafts, and I think it's just because if they could choose not to put up a line, they would, but they do for publicity and getting, obviously, you know, people, users for the future. I totally get that. Is it as easy as it to beat as it was 3, 4, 5 years ago, you think, or has it gotten harder?
It's gotten harder. GMs are a little bit more careful with their information. Plus, GMs and coaches are changing at a rapid rate. It's a win now league. It's been that way, but it's getting more intense. So I have less data points to choose from as to what a Tennessee's going to do, what Jim Harbaugh is going to do, what Washington's going to do. There's a lot more uncertainty. Then you have 38 states that have now gone ahead and legalized this.
Right.
Circa, to their credit, put up a lot of stuff in the states where gambling is legal, and they're willing to take a hit at the beginning, and they absolutely know that they're going to take a hit at the beginning, but then they adjust these odds so quickly. I'd say in the last 24 hours, 15 to 20 props, maybe even 25 to 30 props have been substantially changed, because as information, rumors, what's right, what's wrong, it's an information-driven kind of experience, the draft. But for me, it's a little bit different because I also do the analysis. I produce 4 decades of draft reports. I've studied 400 players. So when an information gets out, I have to balance it with what I saw out of the player. And so I come at it from a different angle, but I understand that I have to pay attention to the information as well.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I mean, it's always like the fight between what you think the smartest move for these teams would be and literally what these GMs will fall in love with, love at first sight type thing that usually ends in complete despair. But that's the problem I've always had, too. And I think that it's gotten harder, not just because of the information. I think now teams are doing more, a little bit more misinformation or none, because the truth is the NFL wants them to shut up. And I think especially over the past 3 years, Goodell has told these owners, you have to instill to your executives and everybody else down that you cannot leak anything. Otherwise, there's going to be repercussions. They want ratings on the show. They don't want predictability. And so the only thing they will be okay with is smoke screens, in my opinion. I think there are some smoke screens out there even right now. There was certainly one last year with Will Levis and a few other guys just so they can get their guy. I mean, Atlanta saying they're looking at a quarterback. Stop, please. Come on. That's enough. You know, I mean, and then the odds will change. But I think books are learning more about that too. And I think they're a little bit smarter about putting the initial number up. They will have to adjust. And, you know, there is line value to be made. But there's also situations where we can make bad guesses, and I'd rather not guess as much as possible unless I'm getting some serious plus money, and then I'm okay to guess a little bit. But hey, we'll get into that part. What is your thoughts on the strength and overall strength of this draft compared to others?
Yeah, we are now we're getting to 3-4 years beyond when the world shut down, sports shut down with COVID, and we've had a lot of super seniors. We had some tremendous depth in the draft the last couple of years, but it's waning down. I have 228 at the present time draftable prospects, which is down from the 260, 270, 280 in the real super senior year, and down from 240 last year. I think this draft starts getting weak sometime in the middle to the end of the fourth round. This is not going to be one of those drafts where you could necessarily get a hidden gem in let's say the sixth round or the seventh round like you could a couple of years ago. And I think teams will use the sixth and seventh round differently anyway, because you mentioned the kicks. We're going to have people protect against those long gainers on the kick returns, and we're going to get more returners that are not undrafted free agents, but going in the sixth, seventh round. But as far as the meat and potatoes of this draft, after pick 125, 130, I think we're going to see a drop.
I agree 100%. And I just look at even the position groups, Ron, how weak some of these are. You know, I got the weak ones as running back. I mean, there's no Bijan or Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor type player in there. that I'm seeing, they kind of all mix up. So I think teams are just going to wait on them. I inside linebacker, now that's obviously lost its luster over the past 3 to 5 years anyway. But still, there's nobody inside linebacker that I'm liking. Tight end. There's one tight end, and he might just be so good that he's making everybody else look bad, like the Ohio State kid and a couple others. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is. Defensive tackle, same thing. There's not a ton of DTs that are coming out, minus Murphy, that are really pushing me. And to be honest with you, I don't even think the edge market, the edge rushers, are looks as good as some of the other years when you saw, you know, Hockenson, other guys. I'm trying to remember the guy from Detroit that was a top pick. You had Walker as a top pick, although he didn't turn out quite as good. I mean, it just seems like the edge market is a little weak, and then safety has always been weak over the past few years because it's lost its luster. So there's a lot of position groups there, but then I look at quarterbacks, strong, more deep. I look at wide receivers, strong, more deep, yet there's still some questionable guys that we'll talk about. And offensive line is very strong on top, you know. So only three position groups are really strong to me, and all those others that I mentioned are not. Is that fair?
That's pretty fair. I will say this, though. I have 28 draftable people in the first round. May filter down to 27, 28. That's higher than normal. If you talk to a lot of analysts, most years you're going to have between 18 and 22 draftable first round graded projects. But here this year, I'm hearing people like me. I think this is a pretty darn good first round. And then after that, like you said, what do you do with the second tight end? We have 7 good ones last year. We might only have 1 this year. Safety and running back not going to sniff the first round. And as buyer beware, we don't know what is the correct order of running back. I don't know. What is the correct order of safety? We don't know that. And then there's a drop after the 5 cornerbacks. There might be a drop after the first 4 edge rushers. So I like the first round a lot. After that, some of the positions are really going to be thinned out.
All right. Well, I agree. And the first round can be very strong just because of the number of some of those guys going in with the offensive line and a few others. But there's literally one guy at tight end, one for sure guy at defensive tackle. You know, I look at it the same way as you. So that's fair. And only 27 or 28. You've had that number in the 30s before for that our first round grade. So that's totally interesting. Well, I mean, how many just – this is a sports betting show. How many plays have you made so far? Yeah, I've made more than I wanted to up to this point.
You know, every year I say I'm going to tone it down because I have tremendous willpower in the foods I eat and how I exercise and do all these different things. I apparently don't have a lot of willpower when it comes to the NFL draft because I have about 50 plays right now. I keep telling myself, you know, Ron, you're going to get limited as soon as you finish this draft again. If you win, you're going to get limited because it's happened year after year. And yet I can't resist anyway. And I'm at the point right now that, okay, well, if I get limited, I'll just start writing more and betting less or whatever. But I'm just so fascinated by the draft. I have a lot of plays.
I do too. I'm just kind of counting roughly. I'm up to 20, I believe. Now I'm more of a high volume guy as well, and some of those include hedges in just 6 different situations where you get plus money on many sides. But yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big number. And if anybody's got questions for us, go ahead to our YouTube channel. I see 87 viewers now. You can feel free to put in the comments, and we'd love to try to answer your question the best that we can and discuss for this NFL draft day. So let's talk about a big name that's been going across college football since, well, the playoffs, really, J.J. McCarthy. I think there's been a lot of people saying that he can go in the top 5 because of a trade. He can go in the top 5 because of other reasons. Do you think that this player gets drafted in the top 5?
Yeah, I wish I had the crystal ball with him. Here's where you have to separate my feelings versus what that you have to have that quarterback feelings are, because depending on where he goes to what team, I wouldn't have a first round grade on him. Now, if he ends up with Minnesota at 4 or 5, because of Minnesota's infrastructure, because they have the offensive line cohesive, they play together a lot, it's not bad. Because they have dynamite wide receivers and Hockenson at tight end, they're built to with McCarthy, and he gets a first round grade if he goes to Minnesota in my book. I actually have a ticket that I made, and this is something that we talked about in the past. When do you make your plays? When do you think there's value? And I did make a few plays early, and some of them have lost value, and some of them have absolutely tremendous value. But it's kind of when I made the play, and I made a McCarthy play that he would not go in the top 5 picks, plus 120, which is still pretty much available now. I'm not crazy about the play, but what has he done since in the last 3 months where he's had this great rise? Right. I don't know. I think when push comes to shove, maybe you don't have to trade up for McCarthy. We'll find out. But I'm going to stick by it right now that he doesn't go in the top 5.
I agree with you 100%. I put a date by all my plays. 4-10 on April 10th, I bet J.J. McCarthy over 5.5 draft position, plus 165. So,
Ooh. Yeah,
it was early. And I'm just like, I feel like this is a Will Levis situation. I feel like it's a smokescreen, you know? I mean, let's look at the facts here. You're a GM. Are you really going to trade up for the third quarterback in this draft? I mean, at this point, it's almost kind of feeling like the scraps, especially when you look at 2021 and 4 of the 5 top picks were all traded for fourth round or worse players. You know, no second contracts from their team. Justin Fields, Mac Jones. I mean, look at Mac Jones's numbers compared to McCarthy's. You're a GM and you're going to do that? And how about the Harbaugh factor that look at what he did with his quarterbacks, Kaepernick, and what happened after he left? It's just, I believe it's system, system, system. That doesn't mean that JJ's going to be bad. I don't know. I just know that the risk reward isn't top 5 for me when you're getting the third guy. So I really think he falls to the Vikings. So I'm standing by it. I don't love the speculation we're hearing, Ron, because you know no one loves to hear you know all these mock people putting him at 5 and 3 with the Patriots because the Tim and Tom Brady both went to Michigan. And nobody likes to see that, but I'm still pretty confident that it's a solid bet at plus 120. I truly believe that. And I think you got a good play there. So let's cross our fingers tomorrow, and maybe we'll have a dark beer together once.
Absolutely, not a big play, but it's a play nonetheless. I speculated early, then I saw the buzz, and I said, well, some of the plays I make early aren't as big unless I really think there's value. But I come back to them, and I may add to them. But I didn't add to him. I just can't see it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, well, let's talk about the Patriots then since we brought them up. What do you think the Patriots do at 3?
I think they stay and draft a quarterback unless they get blown away by a deal. This is Elliot Wolf from the Ron Wolf tree. I'm old enough to remember Ron Wolf drafting a quarterback every single year, whether he had a great quarterback or not a great quarterback. He just made it a habit to use a late round pick on a quarterback. I think Wolf wants to have a quarterback. I think it's Drake May, and it'll take a huge offer to get him off that.
Yeah, I mean, Drake May dropped a little bit. He was the consensus 2 before the season started anyway. He had a little bit of a rough season. Doesn't even mean Caleb Williams didn't have that a little bit of a rough season himself. It's just that, you know, there are some red flags about him. I don't think he stepped up against big competition. And I'm hearing in the marketplace, and now this is just me repeating analysts, and I don't disagree with them here, that you draft Drake May, you have nobody around him, you're going to get him killed. Why are you even bothering drafting a quarterback? Get your trenches done. He's the third quarterback. That makes sense. And that kind of makes me think that maybe Marvin Harrison could be in play here, and they just kind of surprise people. I think there's a chance on that. You can bet the exacta, which is actually a trifecta, if you go with Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and then Marvin Harrison, and it's at 16-1. I threw a very small 0.2 unit bet on that because I could see that happening. It's if I'm the Patriot way seems to never have been that flashy, you know, and I don't know. And I still go back to, like, I don't think teams are going to be trading up when you have more depth at quarterback. And when I'm talking about depth, I'm talking about guys like Michael Penix that would have been higher rated than probably the Malik Willis's out there and the Kenny Pickett's. It's just like those guys would have been better in some drafts, you know, and you can sit there and get them at 11, you know, 12, 10, you know. So it makes me think that maybe nobody's going to offer, and you can get a Marvin Harrison there. I don't know what the Patriots do. That's what everyone's question is. We don't have Bill Belichick there no more, but they've always kind of been a hard-nosed team. It wouldn't even shock me if Joe Alt gets drafted by this team, which I would completely be okay with, Ron.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a defensive-minded team. They have a defensive-minded coach, so they're going to have to do something, and they're going to have to use their weapons a little better offensively. They were, if not the lowest scoring, one of the two lowest scoring teams in the league last year. So they have to jumpstart the offense, whether it's Harrison or whether it's a quarterback. They have to pay a lot of attention to that offense.
100%. Well, how many quarterbacks do you have going in the first round?
Well, I think, you know, there's talk that it could be six. And because Denver's involved and because Sean Payton's involved, and we know he's trigger happy, he just can't sit still. He's even said it. I can't sit there and not trade up. He did that with New Orleans. He even did that with Denver in one short year. And he doesn't have a number two pick, ironically, because that, you know, they got Sean Payton. So they're kind of out of, out
traded
of that
for me.
Number two pick. Yeah. So I could see a team like Denver using their first pick on some other position and then using the 2025 first round pick and moving back up. So I do think there'll be five, maybe even six in this draft. The one good thing that I will note about these six quarterbacks is we don't have as many red flags about these quarterbacks as we have in the last two, 3 years. I mentioned yesterday that Zach Wilson, he didn't play any kind of competition because of COVID and they weren't allowed to play conference games. Daniel Jones going a few years back, internal clock issues. Some of these other ones, 11 career starts for Richardson at Indianapolis. Right. We didn't know about him. Will Levis, internal clock issue, interceptions. These six quarterbacks are actually pretty clean in terms of no red flags. As far, they all seem to be have a pocket presence. They all have the requisite NFL accuracy. So that's why I think it is going to be five, and oh my goodness, it might even be six.
It might be six. And I've always been harder on first round grades of quarterbacks. I have four first round grades on quarterbacks, but I have six going into the first round myself. Because here's the thing. If it was Sean Payton's honeymoon year, if it was his first year without the pressure, then he could get by without getting somebody to throw the ball. But now when you have the Raiders right behind you, you see a run on quarterbacks, you need one. Are you 100% confident that Bo Nix might not be liked by the Raiders or the Saints, even, who have to go a couple years or maybe a year or two more with Derek Carr, but maybe they see value? It's almost like, I don't want to go a quarterback going to my old team, because for me, after six quarterbacks, I think the class really drops off. You know, I'm not a Spencer Rattler guy, you know, at all. I'm not a who's another really deep one. I would say even the guy from Notre Dame, you know, I have him drafted. I have him even as a top six guy, but I don't have him as a first round guy myself, you know. So, you know, looking at some of the other quarterbacks in the draft, I am just not really impressed by a lot of them. And this is a situation where Jordan Travis, you know, Florida State, should be picked later. Tanner Mordecai, even from Wisconsin, could be worth a shot in the fifth round, you know? So I think that he panics. I think he panics and maybe grabs Penix or Nix. I could see that, Ron.
It could happen. Boy, that would be a loss of draft capital to get him that early. Because it's a Daniel Jones situation. It's not so much that they got Daniel Jones at six. That year, the Giants had picks 6 and 17. Maybe they lose him at 17 because of the hype, just like the hype we're talking about now. But at six, you need somebody who plug and plays for a decade. History tells us that the offensive line is the most predictable. If you draft an offensive lineman in the first round, you have a better than even chance, 60 to 70% chance that that person plays well for you beyond the first contract. You don't have that same percentage at most other, at all other positions in the draft, including including the quarterback position. If you're the Giants or any of these teams that need to stop drafting in the top 10 like they've been doing every year, then what you absolutely need to do is get a cornerstone for your team. You can't be trading quarterbacks back every 3-4 years. Daniel Jones came into the league with flaws, and I think in some ways Bo Nix has a ceiling. He's a good quarterback. I think we've already seen through his 24 years and 6 years in the NCAA, there's not much more upside to him. I think he could be a competent quarterback in the NFL, but if he goes to one of these teams that can't protect him, I don't know how they move the wind needle.
Give me a super sleeper quarterback, like a super, like maybe a walk-on or a seventh rounder. Give me one.
Oh, my goodness.
I got one in mind if you want me to go first.
To be honest, I don't have one this year. I mean, you could say Jordan Travis just because the devastating injury, maybe he comes back after 2 or 3 years. With the right team, I'm okay with Rattler in the late third round or something like that. I actually think he'll be drafted before that. I like these second day kind of draft props, and I took one on Rattler. I don't have one, so I'm curious to hear what yours is.
I'm not even 100% sure if he still threw his name in the draft, but it'd be Zach Calzada for me. You know what's interesting for him? When he went to Incarnate Ward, he was the quarterback at Texas A&M, and he was bad. But this was for Jimbo Fisher. He wasn't even that bad. He was like their best bad quarterback, right? But this is Jimbo Fisher's offense. I mean, everybody was bad there. You know, it didn't matter. You know, it's like sometimes system is just so much more important. You know, kid's 6'4". He's got good size. Maybe for next year's draft, if he doesn't go in this year. I just kind of thought that he was a good prospect, and he was extremely accurate for Incarnate Ward. So I think he could be a sneaky type walk-on, but to be honest with you, I'd have to even double-check if he's still in this thing. But I just saw his name, and I was like, okay, I'm going to ask Ron. But no, but good stuff. Let's go to what some of these teams might be doing. A big talk was Atlanta at number 8. I'm hearing all kinds of different things. I took a shot at Turner when it came out at plus 300. It's bounced a little bit back and forth and went down. Dallas Turner went down to even the plus 150s. And now it's kind of back up a little bit. What are you hearing about Atlanta for number 8?
Atlanta and I never agree on anything. Because I've had them going edge rush. I've had the edge rusher need for them probably the last 8 to 10 years, maybe even longer. This is a team up until last year had almost 1.5 sacks per game. That was about it on average during a 5-year period. They finished 29th through 32nd in each of the last 5 years. Which also correlates to the fact they haven't had a winning record since the Super Bowl. They've been stuck on 7-10, which is their peak, actually, because they don't understand that your cornerbacks and safeties have to cover longer when you don't have an edge rusher. Last year, on paper, it looked like they had more sacks. You know, it looked like, oh, we've solved the problem, but not really. Nobody stood out. They were all older guys. They played a whole bunch of rookie quarterbacks. Just look at who they played within their division last year. And remember, this division had a very soft schedule last year. They played the Houston division and they played their own division twice. That's 10 games against those teams, a couple of other backup quarterbacks. I think they've got a problem. They absolutely have to go edge rusher. What would I do? Because there are three edge rushers that are available. I would trade back, which they don't know how to do, but I would trade back from 8 to 11 or 8 to 12 or 13, add an extra draft choice, maybe even an extra two draft choices, and then take one of the three draft rushers. I had Latu early because I thought he was undervalued at the time. There's been some pushback now. A couple of doctors have said there may still be a problem. But I have Latu going in the top 10, going to Atlanta and under 18 and a half. I understand he opened at 21 and a half, but that was not available to me, unfortunately. I think Atlanta has done work on cornerback, a lot of work on cornerback, which scares me. But if they want to get better with Kirk Cousins there, you know, let's get him an edge rusher.
No, I agree. I always say, and if you guys want to check out my mock draft, I have one out at theoddsbreakers.com. I always say, and I get too repetitive, I say the correct thing they should do is trade down, but what will they do is what I'm trying to predict. I think that I think they can go a couple different ways. I'm hearing that Murphy might go to him as well, you know? And I actually mocked him all the way down, Byron Murphy, to the Seahawks. I think he's the best player on the defense in this draft, and I've watched many of his games at Texas. But I think Latu, the way he's played last year, are you worried about his neck injury? I guess, but you can just say that about any guy that's been injured. He was an absolute beast over at UCLA, an amazing beast, you know? And I kind of want the Bears to get him at 9, but right now, I hedged a little bit at my plus 300 on Dallas Turner. I took Latu as the first defensive end slash tackle drafted, and I even took the cornerback at first defensive player, Mitchell, at plus 1,600 just for a very small hedge as well. So I'm hoping one of those three hit. If not, well, there it is. But I think Atlanta has a lot of options, and I would trade down as well. But what do you think the Bears do at number 9? Now, what's interesting about the Bears, they're going to have Caleb Williams. Do they fall in love with hooking him up with an Odunze or a Neighbors, whichever one of those two are available? Do they trade down and try to get back into second round? I think I prefer that. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, two guys, and Murphy's really been steamed a lot lately. Murphy and Bowers, I can't figure out what team's going to get them or what their ranges are. Bowers could go anywhere from 5 to 18. Murphy, I have going anywhere from 8 to 16 right now. And the Bears, I'd probably trade down like you would. And the Bears are pretty good at understanding how to do that and getting draft value to it. But I don't think they would pass on Odunze if he was there at 9. And I think the other guy, I mean, maybe they even look at Bowers. Why not? But I think it's so Odunze, Bowers, offensive line, or trade back, which basically what I'm telling you is I'm not sure.
Of course. And maybe it makes Caleb Williams happy. They're hanging out on the plane. I think Odunze actually could go second wide receiver. Personally, I have a plus 300 play on him going second wide receiver. I hear that the Cardinals would pick him. And I also, if Harrison's gone, and I'm hearing the Giants have some interest in him as well. So I think the Bears just, they have Tyler Scott right now listed as their third receiver. So I could see that. But, I mean, who is he? They lost Mooney, but they gained Keenan Allen. But Keenan Allen's only on a one-year deal. I could definitely see them doing that. I prefer Latu or trading down and getting one of those pass rushers or somebody that's going to affect the defense. You know, the Montez Sweat thing turned out better than I expected. He was a better player, and he stops the run. But they still don't really rush the passer all that well yet. You know, DeMarcus Walker's kind of still sitting there on the team. But they can go anywhere, and they could also even go corner or safety later in the second round. You would do that. But there's definitely some options for the Bears. I mocked the Bears to pick Malik Neighbors. So I think I think it will be a receiver. I'm hoping not, but we'll see what happens. Ron. Okay. How about the next one down, and this is the Jets, and there's a bunch of disagreement in the marketplace with the Jets. Now, I could tell you what I would do, but what does Ron think they're going to do?
Well, here we start looking at all the offensive linemen that are going to go off, and there's really going to be a lot of them. We'll talk about that. And that's why I think the Bears at 9 could take one of the offensive linemen. I like teams that are going to start rookie quarterbacks to actually protect their rookie quarterback. So I would take an offensive lineman or Odunze as my choice. It seems like the Jets are deciding between Bowers and an offensive lineman themselves. And I think I've gone back and forth. When I wrote an article about 3 weeks ago, I wrote that Bowers at the time was plus 200, which was interesting. Now, Bowers has dropped, but I think they're going to end up offensive line. I think it's the right move. Aaron Rodgers lasted 4 plays last year. I'd like to see him. The Jets would like to see him last a little bit more than 4 plays this year because they've got a dynamite defense.
Just a little bit more than 4 plays. Can you?
A little bit more than 4. I'm not, you know, hedging a little bit there.
You're not asking for much.
The Jets have upgraded their roster even since the last. They're kind of an all-in team. There's about 3 or 4 every year, and the Jets are one of them. Houston's one of them. Dallas is not one of them, no matter what Dallas tells you. But still, I think the Jets go O-line here. I think they may surprise people as to which O-line they go, but that's the feeling I have right now.
Okay. So this reminds me of why I tell my friends not to drink and drive. Seriously, because if you have a couple drinks, and it doesn't even matter if you're over the limit, really, and then some idiot just jumps in front of you, could be a, you know, a homeless person, could be just a freak accident of a kid's skateboard, it's your fault. If Aaron Rodgers trips over his own feet and injures himself, it's your fault for scaring him from the edge because you didn't draft that offensive line. It's the same thing. It's like, if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, what did you do in the first round to protect him when you had the worst offensive line? Nothing. That is where you get fired. And they have to be smart enough to not to get Brock Bowers or Odunze or any of those receivers out there. In my opinion, they have to know that you have to protect Aaron Rodgers. And plus, it's not like you're that depleted. There's deep wide receivers in the second round. You still have the Ohio State kid over there, right? The Jets picked up a few guys, I believe. I'm just kind of a quick look at their. Yeah, you still got Garrett Wilson. You got Mike Williams. Now, when Mike Williams is healthy, he was an extremely underrated receiver for the Chargers, you know. So you got Alan Lazard there. There's guys that have experience. And yes, you got Tyler Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert, but you can get the Ohio State tight end later. Protect Aaron Rodgers by all costs. You will not get fired that way. The way you get fired is if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, even though it's not your fault, it will be blamed on you. So that is, I am completely with you. And this is also another reason I have a 100-to-1 shot on the Jaguars drafting a tight end first, because I think there's a chance that Brock Bowers falls to him. Jacksonville being so close to Georgia, and the Colts already drafting tight ends. The Raiders draft Mayer last year. I think there's a serious chance of that. But that's my long shot, and I talked about that a little bit with Thor Nystrom on our show yesterday. But let's move on to the next position that's being talked about. I think that J.J. McCarthy does go to the Vikings, and I think you mentioned something about the Vikings and what they need and what they're ready to do with the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think the Vikings are the team that I'd probably endorse moving up, although I think if the board shakes out the way I think it is, maybe the Chargers do not trade. Maybe the Vikings trade in the division 11-9 with the Bears. The Bears are still going to get a quality player from at 11. That's not a problem. And maybe the Vikings beat other teams' offers and they get McCarthy at 9. Or maybe what I would do.
I'd be fine with that. It's over 5.5, baby.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, because for the Vikings, to me, They have a cornerback need. They have an edge need. I mean, I'd like to see if they could address one of those at 11, and then that they want Penix, or if they want to trade up from 23, they could trade from 23 to whatever they need to do. The Seahawks are looking to trade back, for example. There's a number of teams that they could go to the middle of the round, 16, 17, 15, even the Colts, trade up and get Penix at that pick. And maybe not. Maybe they're not in love with McCarthy. I mean, it's all talk. Quarterback talk is all over the place. Everybody loves to talk about quarterbacks.
It's all talk. And if you hear anything, it's more. Draft. I think it'd be more of a distraction at this point if you hear that they like someone, because they're told explicitly not to tell you what they're going to do, but they can tell you the distraction. I agree, Ron. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if everybody gets shocked like every other year, because we see number of quarterbacks go under every year. And yet you ask me, and this year I think it's going to go over. But that doesn't mean I think there'll be four quarterbacks in the top five picks. I think they still have a chance to get McCarthy with a mild trade up, or Penix with a mild trade up at 23. If I were the Vikings, I'd love to use that first pick on a non-quarterback. But I understand they think they can challenge right now, and they have that offensive line, tight end, and certainly that wide receiver room to challenge right now. So I don't profess to know what they're going to do, but it's going to be interesting.
100%. And yeah, I do have JJ McCarthy falling to them, because I think they're going to panic anyway and not want to trade down and think they're getting, unless they really like Bo Nix, Mike Penix, and McCarthy. If they have them all equal, then yes, that would be a trade down situation. But I think that they go in that situation. Now, I think there's a chance that Bo Nix goes, or somebody goes to the Denver Broncos. Could be Penix. I think that, you know, we discussed that a little bit. I think Sean Payton does take that risk a little bit. Because he's worried that the Raiders in his division is going to get his quarterback. Why would the Raiders not want a quarterback, Ron? Do you see that possibly happening? I mean, why would they sit there with Aiden O'Connell when they kind of need to win with some of their, you know, Adams and the receivers?
People will tell you that the worst place to be in the draft is consistently between pick like 12 and 18 when you're in purgatory. If you're drafting later, you were a playoff team and you've got a good roster. If you're drafting earlier, well, you can go get your quarterback because you're a bad team. But when you're stuck in the middle, and Denver's been stuck in the middle for years and years and years, so they haven't had a chance to get one of those top two or three or four quarterbacks in the draft. The Raiders are in purgatory. They certainly need a quarterback, but they did get Gardner Minshew, and he could be a short-term fill, and Aiden O'Connell can do some things. He belongs on a roster. The Raiders have a lot of needs because their previous regime dumped all the players. I mean, they were so bad at drafting that none of those guys are on the roster. If I'm the Raiders, I have to bite the bullet and I don't take quarterback this year.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You're late in the process here. So it's like, do I want the fifth quarterback? Do I want the sixth? Or right. I mean, at that point, wouldn't you rather take a chance on the 10th quarterback, the eighth quarterback, the Jordan Travis's out there, right? And get him in the third or fourth round. Jordan Travis could turn out great. We don't know. So, I'm not saying it's the right move. But if you love them, that's what I think, that they could panic and do that. And I could see Sean Payton panic in that situation. But let's move on to how you have this draft from a positional standpoint. How many offensive linemen did you say? I know you alluded to it before. How many offensive linemen do you have out there going in round one?
I think a minimum of 9 are going to come off, and as many as 11 could be. If we see the cornerbacks get pushed back, and if we see a drop, you know, a surprise at edge or DT not going, or there's a lot of health and character concerns going on at wide receiver. And I, you know, one of the plays I have is under 6.5 wide receivers. I think there's 7 that are possible for wide receiver, but there's a lot of character things going on. Where are you going to move to? Why not the most accurate position for the first round? Now, I don't have 11 first round tackle, guard, and center grades. There's 2 or 3 of them, including the BYU guy who I'm not going to try to pronounce. and a couple of others that I actually have a second round grade on.
Super, too bad it's not Puka Nacua.
Yeah. Well, he's a good guy, and it's a little easier. It's a fewer syllables. But, yeah, I think we're going to have 10 when all comes down to it, that there'll be 10 offensive tackles, at least 9. And it's just such a good group of offensive linemen that we should see at least 9 offensive linemen.
All right. Well, I mean, geez, that's a lot, because we're moving into our best bets section too. And I think it's under 9. I have my mock has 7. I could see 8. The only reason my mock has 7 is because I think later in the draft, somebody throws us a curveball, whether it be the Ravens, or I think I had it, whoever had the 31st pick in the situation, the 49ers could throw us one. But I have 7, and if my number 7, I'm going to go under. I think just if you're going to drain the offensive line that much, are you really going to want the 9th best offensive lineman, even if you think it fits your system? Or are you going to want the 3rd best corner, or maybe the 3rd or 4th best edge rusher, you know, 4th or 5th best receiver? I like your receiver bet, Ron, but also I'm still smitten by 3 years ago when we were talking and I took under 6.5 and 7 receivers were picked in that draft. I got burned. And remember I told you that not one of those receivers made the playoffs on that team that drafted them in the first round. We had that conversation. I was so mad at that. But, you know, I'm always an anti-receiver, but it sounds like some guys like Mitchell and a few others are dropping because of health concerns. I guess he's diabetic and, you know, all that, you know, goes through the Twitter leaves, let's say, the tea leaves, Twitter leaves. Mm-hmm. And Ladd McConkey's being talked about. He's fringe. You got Troy Franklin out there, Roman Wilson, that are all second, third round guys. I'm surprised how Keon Coleman has dropped so far. He should not have ran the 40 at all. If you're going to run a 4.61, buddy, what are you doing running a 40? You'd say my ankle hurts, you know? I mean, don't let that thing completely destroy you, but there it is. I think Keon Coleman, even though he ran a 4.640, is better than his ranking in this draft too. So I totally see that. So I have under 9 offensive line, and I have that at a pretty good number at plus 160. So I figure if I'm getting plus money when I have less, even if you have the number 9 in your mock draft, I mean, that's what I'm thinking, Ron, but you might disagree with that.
Well, I'm looking down the chart, and Pittsburgh's going to take an offensive lineman at 20. Dallas is going to take an offensive lineman at 24. Tampa, I think it's better than 50-50. They could take an offensive lineman. Baltimore dropped 3 starters on the offensive line. So that's 4 teams there that don't have a lot of wiggle room. So if you add the Jets in there, if you add, I don't know what Vegas is going to do, but you know, they could go that route. Seattle's going to take an offensive lineman, whether they stick or don't stick at 16, at least that's what I think, unless they shock us all and take a quarterback.
I think they get Byron Murphy if Murphy drops to them, because they're the second worst run defense in the league last year.
Yeah, I mean, Murphy's going to be an interesting commodity. I don't know where he goes. But I just think there's not a lot of wiggle room for some of the teams in the back part of the draft that – there's always that dilemma. Do you take best player available or do you take need? And most people would probably go best player available. But when your need is so extreme, I don't think you can ignore it.
All right. No, that's fair. So what about total defensive players? I mean, if you have 9 or 10 offensive linemen going in the first round of the draft, yeah. I mean, how many defensive players do you have at total?
The ceiling has to be 12.
That's the number I have.
Probably going to be... Yeah, it's probably going to be an exact 11. It's probably going to be like a 21-11. I've dealt with that prop a lot over the years, but I think it's such a narrow gap this year. There's not, like most drafts, if you see like a 16 or a 17, you could there's a range of like 15 to 19 on offense, 15 to 19 on defense, but the range is maybe 10, 11, or 12. There's not a big range. I'd rather have a prop that's saying, will there be exactly 11 defensive players and take it at a nice plus money. That's not being offered. Maybe I can ask somebody to do it next year.
Yeah, I got minus 155 on over 10 and a half, and it was one of my larger plays. I just cannot see some of these defensive guys that are top heavy in a position group to not even be selected. It wouldn't even shock me if a safety was drafted, and the one actually that I was looking at that I think could be drafted, and I threw him in my mock because nobody mocks are correct, really, especially when it gets to later in the first round, right, when all these trades have already happened. But I think the Georgia kid could get drafted, Javon Bullard. And the reason he is because he's played cornerback too. He could be a slot corner. And really, anybody with the name of Georgia, if you went to the school with the name of Georgia, it's usually not a bad guy to grab in your first round. He has some pretty good numbers, you know. So I could see Baltimore throwing us a curveball here and then getting in their offensive lineman later. So yeah, that's just another situation that would bring me from 7 to 8 offensive linemen if that doesn't go through. I do have Pittsburgh possibly going receiver, most likely offensive line. I think they could, you know, they did lose Deontay Johnson in the trade market. So I'm like, you just picked up Russell Wilson and obviously the Bears quarterback Fields, but who are you going to throw to? You know, I kind of was thinking to myself, do they get in love with a guy that ran a 4.2 140 with like a Worthy or something? So that's my other best bet. What other best bets do you have on the board?
Well, the guys, I mean, obviously a lot of juices change. I have some, luckily, more good juices than bad. The guys I'm most involved in are Joe Alt. I have him under 7.5, and I hate to rely on Tennessee. If they have to pull the trigger at 7, what if they don't? I'm just going to skewer them if they don't. Latu and Joe Alt are two of my favorites. But I want to throw one out that is not available for everybody, but there are a few books that have second and third and fourth round picks and stuff like that. But Christian McCaffrey's brother has been tabbed mostly right around the will we go over under 132.5. I think Circa has moved to about 130.5. So it's pretty close, middle of the fourth round. He tested very well. He's got great hands. He obviously has good bloodlines in terms of with his brother. I have a feeling that you're going to hear his name at the end of the third rather than the beginning to middle of the fourth. I could see him going in the 95 to, let's say, top of the fourth, 95 to 115 range. And so I think there's a cushion. I want to throw that one out there for people who are watching.
Wow, that's good. I don't see numbers on him yet. Is there numbers on him yet?
Circa has it. I think you'd have to. I don't know whether there's so few books that are putting things out for second. They're putting out like Cleveland. What's their first pick going to be? And they don't have a pick to the third round. But for players other than Leggett, who's in the 30s, and a couple of others, I think it's only one or two books that has it.
I think you're okay on Joe Alt because I took 4-1 that he's top five. I don't see Jim Harbaugh passing on him, and I don't think anybody's going to offer him enough to get to 5. He's the best lineman in this draft, at least from a safety perspective. He's got the pedigree, his parents and all that involved in football. I think he's definitely the first offensive lineman. That's minus 900. Why would he not be in the top five when you see offensive linemen consistently drafted in the top five? That's what the Chargers want. I doubt that they go receiver. Jim Harbaugh hates receivers. So I got him at 4-1. So I think you're okay, which brings me to J.C. Latham, which I got at a really good number. Well, I don't even think it's a good number. I laid minus 200 on him. But I'm going under 14.5. I didn't want to do 13.5 because I am thinking that the 14th pick would definitely be him. With the second offensive line for the Saints, because I think the Saints are going offensive line, and they'll get Fashanu from Penn State if he's gone. But I think Latham goes to the Tennessee Titans at 7 because Alt is going to go to the Chargers at 5. So I think that's one of my best bets as well. So I like that. But the truth is mostly I'm seeing like 32.5 as my on DraftKings right now. And maybe I have to log it back onto FanDuel and see some of these other position totals. But I don't see McCaffrey yet, but I would love to see a number on him. And I think, you know, by tomorrow, you're going to see more and more of some of these pop up for sure. So 4-1 on Joe Alt is top five is one I definitely like. So let's hope one of those comes into fruition here. I even think Terrion Arnold can go under 15.5 as a second corner. So I was looking at that one. Where do you have Arnold going?
This is one I have that same play. I actually have Terrion Arnold under 15.5 small, and I also have Terrion Arnold going as the first cornerback. It was plus 200, and I hadn't finished my cornerback work at the time, so I only got it at plus 150 sitting. Last I saw was plus 125, so we're still in the ballpark. Am I crazy about that one? Not necessarily. I just thought it was 50-50, and he's from Alabama. He didn't run as fast as Mitchell, and sometimes that comes into play. But he ran fast enough to be a top-tier cornerback. The only problem I have with my own bet, as I self-screen my own bets, is that I don't know when the first cornerback is going to be taken. It's possible that once a cornerback gets taken, we're going to have a lot of cornerbacks get taken, 5 in the first round. But that first one may not occur until, let's say, Indy at 15. We talked about maybe 13 being a place for a cornerback. There's not a necessarily logical starting place for cornerbacks. So I'm a little worried about the Terrion Arnold, even though I share that I did it as well like you did.
Nice. I have one more for everyone. There was a mock draft that came out on the NFL Network that had Cooper DeJean going to Pittsburgh, and I do not believe that. Just because somebody visits, it does not mean he's going to go. I don't think they do that. I mean, Cooper DeJean was very good at Iowa, but you have to understand, he doesn't look the profile of a cornerback. I know he can play a little bit of safety, but the way he was injured at the end, and now he's fine. He ran a 4.4 something 40. I just don't see him going that high. And I have other cornerbacks better than him. Now, the Eagles might want him at 22. I don't think so. I think that, like you said, offensive line goes to Pittsburgh, if not that crazy wide receiver idea. And then he goes over 22.5. I got minus 105, but it's at minus 115 now. I like Cooper DeJean over that because I think he's more of a 28 or 29th pick where, you know, somebody could say, okay, well, we need one of those players. So in my opinion, he's going to drop. So that's my last best bet of the show, Ron. So I'm thinking that's where he goes. But, man, really appreciate all your hard work you put into this and you being a guest on this show. The draft's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. I cannot wait to text you about it and hopefully hit some of these big ones.
Yeah, and thanks so much for having me. One thing I know we talked about that we should tell others is that after the first round, now during the first round, you and I are probably going to be tweeting and giving our opinions and stuff like that. But new draft props are going to come out after the first round.
Correct.
Maybe we see that McCaffrey prop come out, and other players that do not get drafted in the first round, you're going to be having stuff come out just like Michael Meyer last year and a couple of others that we talked about. So I love the second round. I have a number of plays that involve the second round, still diversifying my portfolio. That's the thing I would leave the viewers with. Make sure your portfolio is diversified. Don't take any unnecessary hits because you're top heavy on one particular situation.
100%. Make sure you get as diversified as possible. Ron, it's been a blast. You have a great rest of your day. We'll be tweeting this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, my friends. Before we go, I just want to comment on this whole Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. I mean, first of all, I mean, there's so many people breaking this rule that you took the Heisman from him for. So maybe you shouldn't have taken it away from him in the first place. But now that you're giving it back, you're just saying, hey, kids, it's okay to break the rules as long as you think maybe in the future they'll change the rule so they can make it okay again. You know? I mean, if you do something illegal and they make it legal later, it doesn't make it that you didn't break the rule. Now everyone can justify doing stuff. I don't know. I thought it was just an absolute crazy way of handling it. And if they were smarter, they could have had Reggie do something else to earn the Heisman back, like give him a way of actually accomplishing it. So maybe something for the community or something just to justify that. But what a terrible way of handling it and a terrible example you just set for our youth of our next generation. Thank you so much for listening to this show. I hope you got some good draft nuggets from Ron. Hopefully you got some for myself. I hope you enjoy the draft tomorrow. I know I'll be enjoying it. I hope you enjoy all of your games that you're watching for the weekend. And go get some winners.